Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Pei Tes. And we're going to begin on Pei Ches Amid Beis. Three lines from the bottom where the Gemara repeats once again. We're going to repeat once again the inyan of the Tekonis Usha. To Omer B'Yosi Bar Chanina B'Usha Hiskinu. Usha was one of the 10 stations where Sanhedrin had to go into Golus prior to the Charbon. So in Usha, they made a number of Tekonis. And one of the Tekonis they made was Usha Shemachra B'Nechsi Malug. Remember, Nechsi Malug is part of the dowry that a girl brings in when she gets married, and the Nechosim belong to her. However, she only has the nominal title to the property because the husband gets the entire income stream throughout their marriage. If and when Chas V'Shalom marriage terminates and he passes away first, and or he gives her a get, then she gets back her Nechsi Malug. But until that point, the Nechsi Malug, although she has the title, he has the benefit. So now what happens if once they are still married? She decided to go and sell her Nechsi Malug. And she goes and tells the Lekech, Mr. Lekech, I want you to know that this, yes, it belongs to me, but you're not going to get any income as long as we happen to be married. And the person says, okay, I'm willing to take that risk, and that's fine, because after all, I don't really need the income stream today. I just want to have these Nechsi Malug, so it'll be part of my estate, and blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Assemblage.
Okay, so Usha is, you know, Isha Shemachar Nechsi Malug, that if she decided to go and sell the Nechsi Malug, B'chayi Bala, when she was living with her husband, the husband is alive, Umesa, and then she died. So what should have been the rule? When she died, the Nechsi Malug should go to her. Even if the husband is still alive and will still continue receiving the income stream, but at least the Nechsi Malug now belong to the Lekech. That's what should have been the case. However, in Ushda Wemasakin, if Umesa, then when she passes away, instead of the Nechosim then now being transferred to the Lekech, and he would eventually get the income stream, Habal Moitzim Yad Al-Kuchais. The Baal says, I am the Lokeach Rishon. I go before you. What's the reason why the Chacham made this Takana Usha? So the last Rashi at the bottom of the Amud says, Mishum Eva. They were afraid that this was going to cause a certain amount of sinna, of hatred, enmity between the husband and wife. Because the husband's going to say, or at least he's going to think to himself, that one of the reasons I married this young lady, besides, of course, that she was a chasuda utznua and a wonderful young lady and midas toivis and a balas chesed and all the rest, but she also happened to have some money, and although this money is going to belong to her, the nechsi malug belongs to her. However, if and when chas v'shalom she passes away, then I, the Baal, will yarshin those nechsi malug. And guess what she's doing? She is now preventing him from yarshining those nechsi malug because she's selling it to somebody else. So that could cause Eva. That's why the Gemara says, "Abal moitzi b'al kuchos," and he stops it midstream. She cannot go and sell the nechsi malug to Elokech. Okay, that's what we learned yesterday. And now the Gemara is going to bring rayas to this halacha of the Tchonas Usha. Om Ravidi Baravin, Afanan Namitinina. We learned in a braisa. Me'idim onu b'ish ploini shegiresh es ishtoi v'nosan k'suvosa. You have two edim come to Bezin, and they say about Mr. and Mrs. Smith that Mr. Smith gave a get to his wife and she already received her ksuba. Okay? Varihu, varihi, tachtav misham shasai. And then we, the general population, see it's not true. They are not divorced because she still lives there in the same household and she still acts like a wife like you would normally expect, the way they have been acting together for the last 10 or 20 years. And guess what? The Nimtzu Zoyvimin. And now we find that these first Edom that came into Bezin and said that he gave her a get and she received her ksuba, the whole thing is not true. It's baloney. Because Imanu Hayisim, a second pair of Edom, come and say, how would you know? How do you say these things? You were together with us in Chicago or in Peoria?
Aurora.
Also good. Okay. And therefore, how would you know any of this? So now, L'choira, what should be the punishment for the Edom Zomam? We all know that you're supposed to go, Kasha Zomam Lasis La'achiv. He's supposed to go and do what he tried to go and
Inflict,
thank you, on the other individual. So now, what was the infliction that they tried? I don't know if this word infliction, but regardless, what did they try to inflict on this?
Impose.
What did they try to impose an imposition on this woman that she should not get her ksuba? Because they're saying she already received her ksuba. That being the case, if and when Chas Hashem there will be a get in another day or two, we have Adam that said she got her ksuba already. So they're trying to prevent her from receiving her ksuba. So we should say that that should be their kasher zomam. They should have to pay her ksuba. Says Zimur, ein oimrim yishalmu kol ksuvasa. We don't say that the two Adam that wanted to prevent her from receiving her ksuba by their false testimony, that they should go and pay the entire ksuba. They only have to pay a much smaller discounted amount, which the Gemara calls the Toivas HaNoas Ksuvas. Now before we get into the discounted amount, what does the Gemara mean? Because, as you know, a woman only gets a ksuba under two circumstances. There are three possible circumstances that a marriage can terminate. How can a marriage terminate? Either one, Chas Hashem, that he passes away, or that she passes away, or that he gives her a get, right? There's no other possibility of a marriage terminating. So now, in two out of those three, he has to go and hand over her ksuba. What are those two? If Chas Hashem, he passes away, then the Yorshim, they have to go and pay the ksuba to their mother or to their stepmother, whatever. And or if he gives her a get, then he has to go and pay her the ksuba. If she passes away prior to him, then he yarshins everything that she owned. Pasuk says v'yarash oisa, and the Gemara learns from that that he goes and yarshins her. Okay, so now these Aden wanted to prevent her from getting her ksuba. What is the likelihood that she is going to receive a ksuba from now till the rest of her life? It's certainly a good chance, but there's a good chance that she won't, because it depends on whether the husband's going to die first, or the husband's going to give her a get, or whether she's going to die first. And therefore, since it's speculative, any time a woman wants to sell her ksuba prior to the marriage terminating, at most she would be able to get a discounted amount because she's selling a ksuba on spec. Like the Gemara explained. Ein oimim yishalmu kol ksuvasa. Don't say that they have to pay the entire ksuba, because the only loss that they wished that she would incur would be the Trivas HaNoah Ksuvasa. The word Trivas HaNoah is a little bit of a borrowed term. You have the term Trivas HaNoah whenever you're talking about a person having the right to choose whom to give the Truma to. Whether I give it to this Kohen or to that Kohen, or to give this Masa Rishon or that Masa Rishon, etc. So then you have a Trivas HaNoah, meaning that you get a certain degree of, it's not just pleasure, but also a monetary right as to whom you can go and select for your coin and for your levy, and that monetary right might in fact be worth something. The Gemara elsewhere says, what happens if you have a Yisrael who comes over to a farmer and says to the farmer, I see, oh, you have a large stack of grain of truma. I, the Yisrael, have an enik who happens to be a kohen, in other words, married my granddaughter, and this enik is a Talmid Chacham Muvik, and he's such a wonderful person, he's great and tremendous, but his parnosa is very, very schwach. Could I ask you please to go and give the truma to my grandson? And the farmer will say, well, really I had planned on giving it to Mr. Cohen and Rabbi Cohen and this fellow and that fellow. However, you know, there's one way of incentivizing people. How do you incentivize people? By money. So therefore, if the Yisrael says, if I give you $25, will you give the truma to my God? I would have done already for $10, but $25 is certainly good. Obviously, this may be a very small amount compared to a 100 bushels of truma, but that's the Tevis HaNoah, that small amount. So therefore, the Gemara borrows that term in connection with the selling of the ksuba, even though the word Tevis HaNoah is not really appropriate, but it means to say a modest nominal amount. So says the Gemara, what would the two Edom Zomim have to pay to the wife of this fellow whom they wished to deny her ksuba? So says the Gemara, they have to pay the Trevis HaNoah, Ezeo Trevis HaNoah. How do you measure that? Ezeo Trevis HaNoah ksubasa. Oimdin, we go and measure, we assess. Kam odom roita litain b'ksuba shel zu. How much would your average individual who is willing to invest on spec, he would be willing to go and buy her ksuba on the looking now at the future. What happens if the husband Nebuch passes away and she is Nisarmula, she becomes an almana, or the husband decides to give her a get and now she's Niskarsha? So in that situation, she will receive the ksuba. So if I were to go and buy the ksuba from her, and that's what eventually happens, oh, I will have gotten, if you will, a very, very good return on my investment. However, what happens v'imesa, what happens if Chas Hashem, she passes away first, then Yerushan Abala, then the Baal is going to go and Yarshan anything and everything in her ksuba. So I, the investor that bought this on spec, I might lose my pants, I wouldn't get a penny. So this is a very speculative type of investment, where I could get a wonderful return. On the other hand, I might get zero. You have to also add to that the age factor, meaning even if Nisarmu and Niskarsha, the husband might only pass away in 50 years from now. So do I want to go and put down money now on the possibility of maybe getting money in 50 years? Okay, but bottom line, it's a speculative type of investment, and therefore it'll be heavily discounted. So if her ksuba, for instance, ich weiß, just to throw out a number, is worth $1 million, how much would a person be willing to pay? I don't know, maybe $50,000, maybe $20,000. Whatever, a very speculative amount, because maybe she'll pass away first and then this ksuba will be worthless. And even if he passes away or gives her a get, maybe it's 50 years from now. Okay, so that's why the Eidim will not have to go and pay the full amount of the ksuba. They'll only have to pay this toivas hanos ksuvasa, this discounted speculative amount.
Why are the Eidim zomim given a break? They're giving a discount.
Similar to my question, they wanted to deny the whole ksuba. They weren't trying to deny her the Tovas Hana. They're trying to deny her the whole ksuba.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's a.
How much damage is she incurring now by they're saying that
her ability to sell that ksuba for that amount, whatever that discounted amount is.
That's exactly.
What they're testifying about. They're not testifying about that amount. They're testifying she lost her whole ksuba.
I know, but what would be the monetary damages? Mm-hmm. She couldn't collect, she wouldn't have been able to get the money anyway. She mm-hmm. was not in a position to collect.
The husband, Baruch Hashem, is a nice, strong fellow. The doctors say he'll live to 120. And Baruch Hashem, the marital relationship was perfect. The likelihood that she's going to get this ksuba, maybe in 50 years from now, maybe 100 years from now, who knows?
Same actuarial tables that you have.
Exactly. So figuring out what the present monetary damage that they wished to inflict on her, that was only the Tevis Hanah, not more than that. That's what it says in the Braisa. But now let's get back to why did we bring the Braisa? Because we're trying to bring a riot to the din of Takanas Usha. So if you hold that there is no din of Takanas Usha, so what does that mean that there is no din of Takanas Usha? A woman can go and sell her ksuba while she is married to a lekeach, telling the lekeach that there's a chas v'sholom, if I pass away, then you will go and get this, if and when this marriage terminates, you're going to go and get the money. I'm selling you lock, stock, and barrel my title and interest in this property. It's true you're not going to get any income stream now, but if and when this marriage terminates, you'll go and get the income stream at that time. And then somebody would say, well, that sounds like a good deal. I'm being able to go, instead of the husband yarshening from her, I will go and yarshen from her. Right? Normally, under normal circumstances, when she passes away, then the husband will get it. No, she's saying, no, I'm conveying the property to you. You own the title to the property. The husband gets the right to the income stream as long as we're married. But otherwise, the title belongs to me. So I'm now selling you title in this property. It's not going to help you to go and get any income at this time. True. But if and when Chas v'Sholom, number one, the husband passes away, or the husband gives me a get, any way you're going to go and get it at that time, because you're buying the Nechse Balog. Number two, even if I, Chas v'Sholom, the wife passes away, she says, you're going to get it because I'm selling you the property now. It's your property. You don't have the income stream. But if and when, Chas v'Sholom, I pass away, under normal circumstances, my husband would yarshin from me. But since I'm selling it to you, you're going to get it. You're going to get it right now. Then the marriage will terminate at the time that I pass away, says the woman. The husband will no longer have the benefit of the payers because we're no longer married. And then you'll get not only the title to the property, but you'll also get the money for the property. Oh, that's obviously worth much, much more than this discounted speculative type of investment. So says the Gemara, if we would not hold of the din of Tekanas Usha, then an Isha would be able to sell her Nechsa Malug today, in the middle of the marriage, to a Lekeach, get a far more substantial amount than just these pennies, or whatever the amount is, for the Tevis Anah. Why does it say that they only have to pay the Tevis Anah? Why don't they have to pay the much greater amount? Zoktimar, Bisolka Daita Chalesa Tekanas Usha, if we don't hold the Tekanas Usha, Amai Yerushena Bala, why would we go and say that the Baal Yarshins from her? Remember, that's part of the Umdana, going back to the fourth line. What's the amount of the Tevis Anah? Umdam Kama Odam Roitza Litim Ksavashashal Zushim Nisar Neskarisha, then she is not going to get, and the Lekech will not get. The other way around. Shim Nisar Mulad, if she becomes Almana, or she becomes a Grusha, then this Lekech will be able to go and receive the Ksuba, because he bought it. The Mason, however, if she dies prematurely before the husband, Yerushana Baala, then the Baal will get the Ksuba, and this fellow, this Lekech, well, he niach es mo'isav al ker natzvi. He's not going to be able to go and get anything because of the fact that she predeceased him. Says, well, Bisolkadaitach, if you're telling me that she's able to go and sell her nechsimulug, then it wouldn't be Yerushana Baala. Then Yerushana the Lekeach, not even Yerushana, he would get it because he sold it to her. Bisolkadaitach, less it to Kanasusha, my Yerushana Baala. Tazu ksuvasa ligamri. Let her go and sell the whole ksuva, lak, sack, and barrel. To the extent that he passes away first, or to the extent that he gives her a get, then certainly the Lekeach will get it. And even if she passes away first, the husband is not going to receive the property, because she sold it to this fellow. So he's going to receive the property. And starting from that time after she passes away, since the marriage will have terminated, he'll not only have the title to the property, he'll actually have the payers to the property. So obviously this is a much more lucrative deal for the woman. She'll be able to receive much, much more than just the Tevis Anah. So why don't we say that the Edom have to go and pay this larger amount? It's the Charayah, because it's Tekanas Usha, she has no right to go and sell the Nechsa Malug, and therefore maximum what she could have received today would be this discounted amount, the Tevis Anah. Right? Is there good? Omar Abaye says, on the surface what you said makes so much sense, it's brilliant. However, you missed one nekuda, and that is im amru nechsi maluk, yerim nechsi tzayin barzel. What does the Gemara mean to say? We know there are two different types of nechasim that a woman brings into her marriage. Some are called nechsi maluk, and some are called nechsi tzayin barzel. What's the difference between the two? There's no inherent difference in nechasim. It's only what the monetary arrangement is at the time that they get married. Meaning, before they go to the chuppah, in the reception room, or hopefully even prior to that, the two mechutanim had gotten together, and the father of the girl said, I'm going to go and give kach v'kach. And the father chosen says, I'm going to give kach v'kach.
Is that the tanoim or whatever?
It's the tanoim that we have today are all a standard form. Yes, in the good old days, the tanoim were
negotiated,
and the terms were very specific to that particular marriage. Exactly like you say. So now, the question is, how do they designate the nechasim? They can designate them as nechse malug or nechse tzayin barzel. What does that mean? Nechse malug means that, as we know, let's assume we're talking about real estate. Real estate, as we know, like any investment, can go up in value and can go down in value. So, if the father of the kala says, I'm handing over to you the following nechse malug, the understanding is the Nechsa Malug will belong to the daughter in title, but he, the husband, will have the income stream throughout their lifetime, throughout their marriage. Okay, what happens if the marriage unfortunately fizzles out, he passes away, there's a get, then he has to hand back those Nechsa Malug to her. During the intervening years, the Nechsa Malug may have gone up in value, and therefore she's delighted, they really appreciate it. Unfortunately, they might have depreciated. It could have gone down in value, like any investment. That's by Nechsa Malug, which means that the ultimate risk in terms of the market fluctuation resides with her. She is going to have to suffer the loss, and she will also enjoy the gain if the property goes up. Tzon Barzel they go and take it to the American Appraisal Institute at the time of the marriage, and they figure out that this real estate is worth exactly $1 million. And that's what they put into the shtar, into the ksuba. And what happens now if the price goes up or it goes down? Says Rashi from other Gemaras, im pachsu pachsu loy, v'im hoisiru hoisiru loy. If they went down in value, he incurs that loss, and if they went up in value, he benefits from the appreciation. As far as she's concerned, what does she get at the end of the marriage, chas v'shalom, if and when this terminates? She gets the amount set forth in the ksuba. If the ksuba said $1 million, he has to go and give her the cash or a check for $1 million. What happens to the property? The property belongs to him. So it's as if there was already a sale, if you will, when at the time that they got married, that he and she both agreed that this, that these nechasim, instead of having a din of nechasim, look at a din of nechasim tzoyin basel. That's how they got the name tzoyin basel. Rashi is because it's like koshe kebasel, that he has received this real estate, and it's as strong as metal, that you cannot easily break it or melt it or whatever. It's strong. It's iron solid, ironclad. Okay, so now, until now, the Tekanas Usha that we were talking about is Isha selling her Nechsei Maluk. The reason why we're focusing on Nechsei Maluk is the Nechsei Maluk actually belonged to her. And if the marriage, Chas V'Shalom, ends, she gets back these Nechosim. And if they went up in price and they went down in price, that's her risk. That is not the husband's risk. Okay, so without the Tekanas Usha, she could have sold it, because the husband really doesn't own it. He only has the Kinyan Peiros. And remember yesterday we said everybody holds Kinyan Peiros, Lavki Kinyan Goftami, with the exception of Rabbi Yochanan. And therefore it really doesn't belong to the husband, it belongs to her. So she should be able to sell it. The Tekanas Usha, she cannot sell it. But when talking about Nechsei Tzoyin Barzel, she never had the right to go and sell it in the first place, because it really belongs to him. Because that's the deal that they made at the time of the marriage, that if this marriage, Chas V'Shalom, terminates, he doesn't give back the property. He can keep the property and he can go and give her the $1 million instead in terms of money. Oh, so she had no right to go and sell in the first place. It doesn't belong to her. It belongs to him. He has a title as well, the title together with the payers. Ah, says the Gemara, this brisa, which says that the Edom only have to pay the Tudas Hanoh, they don't have to go and pay anything more. So you want to say, oh, it's the Charaya, the Tekanas Usha is accepted, because if it wasn't for Tekanas Usha, she'd be able to go and sell the property and make much more money, and therefore that's what they're trying to deny her. The boys say, this price is talking about Tzoyin Barzel, it's not talking about Nechsei Maluk. And since it's talking about Tzoyin Barzel, she couldn't have sold in the first place. So Tekanas Usha is limale v'loimoyed vis-a-vis Tzoyin Barzel. So you're going to ask me, where does it say in this price that we're talking about Tzoyin Barzel? It just says Ksuba. So Rashi explains, and Mefarshim explain, because we're talking about Ein Oymim Mishalmu Kol Ksuvasa Ela Tivis Hanuas Ksuvasa. When it comes to the Nechsei Tzoyin Basel, those have to be listed and enumerated and specified in the Ksuba. When it comes to Nechsei Maluk, it doesn't even have to be identified in the Ksuba. That can be there. They just wink at each other, and he knows and she knows that these are Nechsei Maluk that she brings into the marriage, and he gets the benefit of the income, and after the marriage is over, she gets back to Nechsei Maluk. It's only the Nechsei Tzoyin Barzel where you have to specify in the document, because this is like a transaction, like a sale, that he's buying it for her, from her, for the $1 million. He doesn't have to pay the $1 million now. He'll pay it if and when the marriage terminates. That has to be specified in the ksuba. So therefore, since this Bryce is referring to that the Edom said that the ksuba was given, and we find out that the Edom or Edom Zomim don't say Yishamu Kol Ksuvasa, everything in the ksuba from A to Z, because they're not getting divorced and nobody's about to die. She only gets the Tevis Anos Ksuvasa. Ah, you said, but maybe she would be able to go and sell the Nechasim. If we're talking about the Ksuba, we're only talking about the Nechsei Tzoyin Barzel, we're not talking about the Nechsei Maluk. Because the Nechsei Maluk were not even mentioned or referenced in the Ksuba.
How can she sell the Tzoyin Barzel if it doesn't? If she
can't. That's what the Gemara said. Okay. Since she can't, that's the reason why she can only get the Tevis Anah. So that
why
you
can't she sell the Tzoyin Barzel? She could sell this $1 million.
She's saying the probability of getting $1 million. What's the probability that the marriage will end and I'll get $1 million
payout? I'll sell it to you for $400,000. This is my right to that $1 million.
Right.
But it's not to nechosin, it's to the cash that's set forth in the document.
Okay, so it's the cash. It's discounted cash. It's like a zero coupon bond or something. You buy it now, and in 30 years it matures to $1 million.
Fine. Does she own that $1 million now?
She owns a right to it. She has a claim, an option on it. She has a claim on it.
Perfect. Apparently the Gemara holds that that's not sufficient for being able to sell. In other words, nechsei malug she actually owns. She just doesn't get the income stream. If you looked it up in the registry of all karkois, presumably you would say that she is the owner. But nechsin tzur bazel, he is the owner, and she has no right to receive either the property or the money until
the marriage terminates.
Exactly. So therefore, she has nothing to go and sell. It's Amar Abaye to Oksap. So therefore, said the Amar Abaye, Amar nechsei malug. Yes, you were talking about nechsei malug, that prior to Tekanas Usha, she could have sold it. She can never sell it. It doesn't belong to her. It belongs to him. And therefore, says the Gemara, that's the reason why this Braisa is really not support of the din of the Tekanas Usha.
Because she should have gotten more than the Tovas. So now you're saying she's lost. What is she lost at this? She they want to deprive her of this
Of her ksuba.
Of this,
now the question is, how much do they have to pay because of their desire to deprive her? So now we have to see what the present value of this ksuba is vis-a-vis her. So the Braisa says that the present value is this speculative, discounted value, because maybe he'll die first, maybe she'll die first. Maybe he'll give her again, maybe he won't give her again. I don't know. So maybe you get 5 cents on the dollar, 10 cents on the dollar, whatever the discounted amount. If you don't hold with the Tekanas Usha, she can go and sell the Nechsei Malug already presently now, find the Lekeach that's willing to buy it now, so he is now the title owner. So the benefit to the Lekeach would be, number one, in the normal circumstance where the husband dies first, and or when the husband gives a get, then instead of the wife getting the Nechsei Malug, now the Lekeach will get the Nechsei Malug. But over and above that, what happens if she passes away? Under normal circumstances, when she passes away, the husband would go and yarsh the nechsei malug from her. But since it no longer belongs to her, because she sold it to this lekeach, if when she passes away, the lekeach continues to receive, to hold the nechsei malug, and since the marriage terminated, then the husband will no longer get the payers from it. Now he'll get the payers. So this is obviously a much more lucrative type of deal. If you don't hold of the din of the Tekanas Usha. Karsu says, no, don't do that, because the husband is upset. He's really angry. That means that if she dies, I'm not going to get the Yerusha, rather than other fellow Smith is going to get the Yerusha. So because of that Eva, they didn't allow for it. Says the Gemara, you have no right from this price, because the price is not but Nechsei Malug, it's talking about the Ksuba, and the Ksuba has enumerated in it which Nechosev, the Nechsei Tzoyin Barzel, not the Nechsei Malug. Nechsei Barzel, nobody had a half a minute that she can go and sell, because it doesn't belong to her, it belongs to him. Since we're talking about Tovis Ano anyway, let's go and talk a little bit more about it. And Tovis Ano li isha hava. The Tovis Ano belongs to the woman. What does Igmar mean? We know the famous rule, Mashakana Isha, Kana Baal. So what happens if she went and sold now her Nechsei Malug, assuming again in the absence of the Tekanas Usha, where she was able to go and sell it, the Nechsei Malug? Or even forget that. Let's continue on. Let's talk about with the Tekanas Usha. Tekanas Usha, she still has that speculative value that she can go and sell, right? There are two values to the Ksuba. Neither of them is the actual full dollar amount of the Ksuba, vis-a-vis our circumstances, because they're not getting divorced and nobody's passing away. So everything is all on futures, right? Just like stock is on stock futures, you have now Ksuba futures. Commodity futures, very good. So there are two values. There is the very nominal value, which you call the Tevis Anah, because there's a 50-50 chance. Maybe he'll terminate the marriage by dying first or giving her a ksuba, or giving her a get, then she gets her ksuba. Or maybe she'll die first and he'll be arshin from her and she won't get a ksuba. So therefore it's a very speculative thing. That's called the Tevis Anah. And then there is the, without the Tekanas Usha, that she'd be able to go and sell the Nechsei Malug, lock, stock, and barrel to a lekeach now, and he would get already title to it now. And this would be much more valuable, and she'd be able to sell. So, because it's a Tekanas Usha, she cannot sell. That's what we have concluded. Tekanas Usha, Baal Mois Miyabal Kucha, she can't sell. But she can sell, at least for that Tevis Anah, for that small speculative value. So what happens if she, in fact...
So in the presence of Takanas Usha, what is she selling for that Tavas Hanah, please? Say,
in the presence, you mean that
Takanas Usha? No, since we have Takanas Usha now, so what is she selling when she sells that Tavas Hanah?
Okay, so going back to the Gemara on the third line. Fourth line. How much would a person investor be willing to pay? For this lady's ksuba.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That what? On the tzad that she becomes an almana, or that she becomes a grusha, what would normally happen at that point, she'd get her nechse maluk.
Right.
As well as not the nechse barzel, she'd get $1 million, she'd get the ksuba. What happens now if somebody were to buy that ksuba from her? So then he wants to get the right to receive those amounts.
Those assets, right.
Those assets. Okay, so that's, if this is a very, very expensive ksuba, in other words, there's a lot of money in $1 million, that's a nice return.
Right.
On the other hand, what happens if Mesa? What happens if she dies first? Then she is not going to receive a penny, and therefore the Lekeach won't receive a penny.
Right.
Because Yushana Bala, the Bala is going to go and get the whole thing. So how much would a person be willing to pay for $1 million ksuba, knowing that there's at least a 50-50 chance that he's never going to see a penny on it?
Right.
That's number one. Number two, of course, you have the time factor that it might be in 50 years from now. But putting that aside. So that's the Tevis Sanoa that we're talking about, that it's a relatively minimal amount, nominal amount, because of this speculative nature of these ksuba futures. If she were able to go and sell today her nechse maluk to somebody else, then a person might be willing to go and pay much, much more for this ksuba. Why would he want to pay much more? Because it's not only that he's going to receive it in this armla or in this karsha, but even if mesa, then the baal would yarshin, the lekeach would receive it.
So it adds power to the purchase, because her predeceasing her husband doesn't shut off the purchaser.
It adds value to the deal.
So it's
major value.
Right, I see. It cuts off the loss if she predeceases the husband.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Exactly right.
No downside.
Yeah, exactly.
The only problem is time.
Exactly.
The only is the waiting factor.
Exactly right.
So he has to kill her.
And it's going to be like the quarter. The tops you win, the bottoms you
lose. As you win, tails you lose.
Okay, so either way you're going to win, whether Chas V'Shalom he passes away, she passes away, Lekeach is going to get. Says the Kodesh Usha, no. We won't allow for that. Why? Because of that Ava. What's the Ava? The husband has said, I always thought when I get married that, you know, eventually if Chas V'Shalom she passes away, I'm going to go and get Yerusha. Now she sends this.
She sells it out from under me.
Exactly.
Yeah, but why should she be denied from exercising as she wishes regarding her property?
Social reasons. They don't want a divorce. They'll lead to
everything. You don't want to be in the marriage.
Yeah. Ava means it'll promote divorce.
Exactly. Apparently,
it could promote divorce in the other direction. The wife could say, listen, I want to sell the property.
Apparently, at that time, in Usha, there was a major situation where women were selling their nechse maluk, causing a fair amount of enmity between husbands and wives, and therefore, as a result, the batidinim were full of
divorces,
of gittin and divorces, and people upset, and the psychologists and the therapists, and everybody was busy, and therefore, they said, the way to stop it is
to put the brakes on it.
So now says Abaya, fine, so we have the Takanas Usha, so she can only sell it for the discounted speculative amount. Because, as we said before, it only has value in this armel and this garish. It won't have any value in Mesa. Fine. So whatever she's going to get, she's going to go and get. But now that she gets it, who is that going to belong to? So, well, of course, she sold it, belongs to her. But Masha Kana Isha Kana Bala. Shouldn't it go to the husband? Says the Gemara, says Abaya, no. Name of Milta, Tevis, and all the Isha Hava. This she keeps and she puts it into her bank account, and the husband has nothing to do with it. Diso Kadaito Kabala Avya. Because if you're going to tell me that it goes to the Baal, Lamer La Edom, my Afsidinach, going back to the case of that Brisa, where you have the Edom Zomim, where the Bezin says, okay, Edom Zomim, you don't have to pay for the full amount of the Ksuba, but you have to pay for that speculative Tovis Ano amount of the Ksuba. Why don't I have to pay anything? She would never get it anyway. Even if she sold her Ksuba, Mazel Tov, every penny that she would receive goes to her husband. Now, if the husband wants to sue us, we'll worry about that. But as far as the wife is concerned, she doesn't. She's not losing anything.
She's not out of pocket anything.
Exactly. Because why? Ihavis mezavnis lo l'tivis anor. If she would sell the tivis anor of the ksuba today, Baal HaVishal Kaminach, then the Baal would take it. and not her, is therefore says Abaye, is a raya, since that braisa requires them to pay her the toivas ana, that she gets it and she keeps it and it's hers. Omer Rav Shalman, Rav Shalman says you don't have a raya. It could very well that she has to cough up that toivas ana and give it to her husband. So you're saying, so why would she sell them in the first place? Unfortunately, both the husband and wife are both very, very poor. And Nebuch, it's hard for him to even put bread on the table. What is he going to do? He has already sold his gold watch and his silver koises and his silver Pesach kara. He has nothing. She's already sold her engagement ring and she sold all other jewelry. And they're really down to nothing. The only thing that they have of value is the ksuba that she has received from her husband. And that ksuba, she's going to go and sell, and is going to bring in some dollars. And what is she going to do with those dollars? She's going to give that to her husband, and the husband will say, "Ah, Baruch Hashem, tonight we'll be able for the first time to afford a piece of fish or a piece of meat together with the stale bread." So even though she's going to hand it over to her husband, it's still to her benefit to go and sell it, and that's why the Edom are denying her that benefit of the Toivas Ana. So don't tell me, Raya, Abaye, from that Braisa, that she keeps the Toivas Ana. The reason why she's selling it, even though she knows she's not going to keep it, she's going to have to hand it over to her husband, but it's still indirectly she's going to have a benefit because there'll be more money for the household to buy a new dress, to be able to go and put food on the table, to pay the mortgage, to pay the rent, or whatever.
Takanas Usha is still in existence?
Takanas Usha still exists today, yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Amara Hilchasa Toivas Hanol Isha Be'en Abal Oichel Peiris. So first of all, Rava says, in this machlekes we just had now between Abaye and Rav Shalman, we paskin like, says Rava, my colleague Abaye, even though we have thousands of machlekes in Shas, and the Al-Kagami only wins six times, but nevertheless,
I'll give him a freebie.
I support my colleague Abaye, and Hilchas HaTzibis and all the Isha, she taki keeps HaTzibis and all, as well, in a Baal Oichel Peiris. What means in a Baal Oichel Peiris? So Kedai Techamina, that just like when she brought a Nechse Muluk to the marriage, what happens in a Nechse Muluk? That it gets, if you will, impounded, and the Toivas Anor, not the Toivas Anor, and the payers, thank you, the income stream goes to the husband. Let's do the same thing on this Toivas Anor that she received, because after all, this is a derivative of the original Nechse Muluk. So now she has gotten, Baruch Hashem, it was $1 million ksuba, because of the heavy discount she got 50,000. Take that 50,000 and buy a small, not a, don't buy an Empire State Building, but buy a small piece of property, 50,000, or buy a CD or whatever. And from that, the husband will get the income stream, just like he gets the income stream from all the other nechassim. This is also her nechassim. Let him get the pay. So let her have to go and buy a piece of karka, says Rashi, and he'll get the income stream. Says he went up in a balochel peiros. My timer was paid to kimi rabbanan, paid to pay late to kimi rabbanan. When you're talking about first generation payers of the nechsim look, she brings the nechsim look, you get the payers. That makes sense. But now, if she is selling the nechsim look, so this is already a derivative, if you will. It's like a not the original karen; it's a derivative of the karen. On that, you want to give payers. As we vayt the chacham, we're not masakin. The only masakin on the initial nechsim look, but not the payer. The payer. The payers of the derivative of the Nechsim. When they came from the Bismedish of Rav, Amri, Tanina, the Takonas Usha, will bring you a Rai for Takonas Usha from our Mishnah. What was our Mishnah? Our Mishnah back on the Pei Zion Umar Aleph, the Gemara quotes part of the Mishnah, but we're going to learn the entire part of the Mishnah that is pertinent to our Gemara. Pei Zion Umar Aleph, as you'll see about 4 or 5 lines before the end of the Mishnah. Don't start up with an Eved or an Isha, a married Isha, because if you're going to go and have a fight with them, and Chas V'Shalom, you punch them and cause damage, you're going to have to pay up to the 5 Tashlumen. The Haim and they, they'll be Peturim. Not that they'll be Potter forever and ever, but currently they're Potter because they have no money to pay. Masha Kana Isha Kana Baalu, Masha Kana Eved Kana Rabbi. Eventually, they will have to pay. When is that eventually? This Karsha Isha, if Chas V'Shalom the Isha ever gets divorced, or for that matter, if she ever becomes an Almana, and now she'll come into funds for the first time. Or Nishtachar Eved, the Eved will become Meshuchar, and he'll come into funds. Chayav L'Sham, that's when they'll have to go and pay. That's what it says in our Mishnah. Okay, that's very logical, that's very fine. Says our Gemara, why don't you say that she should have to pay today the Nizik? Yeah, but she doesn't have any of her own asset. Yes, she does. What's the asset?
She can auction off her Toas and of her Ksuva.
Well, we're not in the Toas or not. We're talking about, we're trying to bring a Raya out of the Din of the Konosusha. Why can't she go and sell the Nechsem Malug? And she's going to get a pretty penny for that and use that Nechsem Malug assets, the income stream, to go and give it to the Nizik. Now you'd say, normally I wouldn't go and force a married woman to do that.
Right.
Yeah, but the Nizik says, she has caused me tremendous damage. Exactly. What happened was, Nebuchadnezzar, now Chas HaShem, an amputee, I lost an arm, I lost an eye, I lost a this and that. Let her go and pay. She has no assets. Yes, she has assets. That's the Malug, let her go and sell it. You know why she can't sell it? Because of Takanas Usha. That's what the Gemara is saying. That's the raya that we bring. We learned in our Mishnah. I have a clear cut raya from our Mishnah. That's called Azusha. What's the raya? And they only have to pay in 50 years from now if she gets divorced, etc. If there is no Takan Azusha, Tazbin Nechsimulug, let the Bezin order her to go and sell the Nechsimulug. And whatever she gets for the next Malug, she'll pay out to the Nizik. Is the Choyrash Tarka Raya to the Takonis Usha that she cannot go and sell it? Pray tomorrow, Vlatamech, if you're making such a Raya, Ninami de Isla Takonis Usha. Fine, there is a Takonis Usha. Vlay Matsi Mizamna Legamri, she cannot go and sell it for good, in other words, totally and permanently, that if Chulil Mechasri passes away, it goes to Lekech. Fine, agreed. But Tazun the next Malug, but Tayyib Sanoa. At least do the Tevis and Noah Eitzah that we said at the top of
right,
the
Yom. If he dies or divorces her.
Exactly, which obviously is much less.
Well, right.
But whatever it is, Betita Night, she should go and give it to the Nizik.
Right, right.
Let's force her to go and get that Tevis and Noah. After all, if two Adam Zunman would go and testify against her, she'd be able to collect Tevis and Noah. So this is something which is some value. Exactly, it's available to her. So why should the Nizik suffer?
Force her to sell it. Exactly. Pay the judgment.
Ella, what must be the answer? The Lesla, we're talking about a woman that unfortunately, you know why it's being Yas and Ra? Because she didn't bring into the marriage any Nechsa Mulug or any Netung Basil or anything. She was a poor girl from a very poor family. That being the case, that's the reason why she cannot go and sell this for Toybisana, because she's not going to get anything for the Toybisana. Everybody's going to look at the Ksuba and say, there's nothing in here that of any value over here. And therefore, says the Gemara, the Lesla. Same thing with Gabe, the big picture. In other words, you're trying to bring a raya to the Takanas Usha from the fact that the Bezin doesn't require to go and sell the Nechsim Malug, because she cannot sell the Nechsim Malug, like we learned because Takanas Usha. So why don't we go and force her to go and sell the Toyda Sanah, because the Ksuba is such a small, insignificant Ksuba, the Toyda Sanah wouldn't add up to much, to Lesla. There were no Nechsim Malug to speak of. If that's the case, I'm the Lesla, so don't bring a right to Kodesusha. We're talking about things that were no Nechsim Malug. In our Mishnah, had there been Nechsim Malug, perhaps Bezin would say, sell it and get the big bucks, and we don't leave in Kodesusha. In other words, that Kodesusha is not the halacha, and she can't sell it to the care. But it's talking about that, unfortunately, that the Ksuba is worthless, or that her Nechsim Malug are worthless, or she didn't bring a Nechsim Malug. Shoy? That's the reason why she can't go and sell it and bring any Hanoah to the Nizik. Pray tomorrow. But let me ask you a question. Putting aside, we keep on talking about Nechsim Malug, and we spoke briefly about Nechsim Tzern Basel, but Tazvik Suva also betoy v'sanoah v'titin law. Why don't we go and say, fine, there are no Nechsim Malug. She was a poor girl, she got married. But what's the din if and when she gets divorced or the husband passes away?
She's going to get
Mano Masayim. So Mano Masayim is also worth something. The discounted amount is going to be, I don't know, for $200. Maybe $5, $10, $20, whatever it is. 5% on the dollar, 10% of the dollar, whatever that is. Nizik should say, but I want that $5 or $10. It's still better than nothing. After all, you know, and look at the hezik that she caused me. Says the Gemara, the reason why she doesn't have to sell the ksuba, the mayor, Messiah, Hamani Remeyed, Yamasali Adam, Shiashes, Ishta, Yafilisho, Achas, Bloy Ksuba. What's the reason why? The time of Maikadish, Leite Kala, Be'in of Loitzia. If Chas V'Sholem, a husband and wife get married and she has no ksuba, then any time when he gets in a rage and he gets upset, he'll call up the cipher, write out a get, two Edom sign it, and give her what she deserves. Here's a get, and let her walk
no,
the street.
No financial penalty to him.
Exactly. So that's why you have to have a ksuba. So therefore, if he's going to go and sell the ksuba, she's going to go and sell the ksuba to somebody else. So he said, no, guess what's going to happen? Says the Gemara, then she'll be left without a ksuba, and that's the Reb Meir's takana, because occasionally take kalabin of leitzia. Freit the Gemara, if that's the answer, then that really doesn't answer our question. Why not? Because the tam of my, what's the reason of Reb Meir? Kedeshlo yitel kalabein of leitzia, hocha loy megarish la. If she sells her meyo or masayim, but take this a note to somebody else. So you're going to say, oh, you see, now the husband won't have any financial obligation vis-a-vis her, and therefore he'll easily be megarish her. It's not true.
But she's going to pay the 200, right. 200 to the locale.
The husband has to pay the other guy.
He's on the hook for the full value.
So then Reb Meir's takana really is limal v'limayr. It's irrelevant here. The time in my, the whole reason for Reb Meir's statement is because of he's still not going to go and give her a get. If he decides to give her a get, also hanoch means those are kuchais, the purchasers. The zavni that went and bought this ksuba from her. So Ibazoi says the Gemara, why don't we say in our Mishnah? Why do we say pigios and ra? That she's totally off the hook.
She has assets that can be liquidated and pay her nezer.
Exactly. And even if she doesn't have nechsim alunk, but at least she has the mayor messiah. And if she can't collect on that, that's 100 or 200 now, but at least she can collect $5 or $10, whatever she gets. Give it to the nizik. Okay, I have a new reason. The Tegvus Anah, Mili Ninu. The whole Tegvus Anah is really just words. Umilei Mishtabdi. Based on words, you can't go and make a shibud to the nizik, that the nizik should be able to demand, go and sell this ksuba and give me the Tegvus Anah. It's just mili, this just words. Freitimar, alom aloi. Mili to Mishtabdi bedinri ninu. These may only be words, but they're valuable words.
Convert to cash.
He converted to cash by selling it. If you only get $5 or $10, whatever you get, I, the Nizik, want those $5 or $10. Says Yimah, you're right. Ela Mishim Nishmur, a brand new reason. Yom Nishmur, Hamoicher Shtar Choyv Lechaveri, Chazer Mecholoi Mochul, Vafili Yoyrish Moichel. What happens? You have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven owes Shimon money, and Shimon has the Shtar Choyv, this promissory note. Promissory note is for $100. And Shimon says the maturity date is another 3 months from now. And Shimon, desperate for cash, he wants the money now. He doesn't want to wait for 3 months. So Shimon takes his $100 note. He goes over to Levi and says, Levi, I want to sell you this note. You know, Reuven is Baruch Hashem, a wealthy guy. He'll pay you. You don't have to worry about it. I have to wait 3 months. And nevertheless, he might have defenses. He might say it's counterfeit, this and that. So how much are you going to give on the $100 note? $25. Whatever the discount or whatever the purchaser is going to buy it for at a discount. Fine. So Moichashar Lechaber. Now what happens? Now it comes maturity date. And Reuven comes to Shimon and says to Shimon, you know, I owe you the money. Shimon says, you know what? Reuven, we've been such good friends over the years. I moichel you. You don't have to pay me a penny. Of course, as far as Shimon is concerned, he wouldn't have paid him himself anyway, because Shimon sold this Shtar Choyv to somebody else. Now what Shimon is doing is not very ethical or moral. But we're not talking about the ethics and the morality. We're talking about the legality. Says Shmuel, someone who sells the Shtar Choyv Chaver, and after that he's Moichel the Choyv, Moichel, it works. And not only that, but for the Yoyrish Moichel, even the Yoyrish can go and be Moichel and say, I'm Moichel. In other words, if Shimon sold this note to Levi, Shimon subsequently passed away, now it comes maturity day. Says the Yoyish Shimon's son, he goes over to Reuven, Reuven, you don't have to pay a penny, it's fine, we're moichel you the choif. Even though Nebuchadnezzar
Levi's out of pocket to the cost of what he paid.
Exactly. Now, Agamar, of course, doesn't go into further ramifications, but Levi would be able to go and sue Shimon or the Yoyish for tricking him and deceiving him.
Right.
True. But Lamaisa, the Mechila works. So Ibazoi says the Gemara, that's the reason why we don't tell her to go and sell her mayor or Messiah to the Lekeach, because you know what might happen? She can be moichel the payment of that 100 or that 200, and therefore the Lekeach is going to get zero.
That would be against Reb Meir. Reb Meir says you can't do that because that removes the disincentive to divorce her. So she, according to Reb Meir, she doesn't have that right to be mochel her ksuva to the from her husband.
I don't know if that's he's Romero saying that
there has to be a financial disincentive to casually divorce someone.
Right, but she now she's saying maybe she wants a divorce in this case. It's up to her.
No. I'm saying the same, but no, it's as a policy, as a social policy. Can you allow women to stay, men and women to stay married if there's no financial disincentive? And Ramirez says no. There has to be a financial disincentive for against divorce.
No, but she's actually in endearing herself to her husband. Because,
it's you know, not.
She's saying, no. I'm giving up. Yeah, I sold it to Sylvia. Don't worry about it because I'm going to be mochud, so you don't have to pay. And, oh, you're such a wonderful wife. I would say just the opposite. She's doing him a favor.
So your svara is exactly the Gemara's svara. Let's see what the Gemara says. So again, what's the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara's kasha is, why don't we say in our Mishnah on Pei Zayin, when she was mazik someone, she should have to go and sell the ksuba? Oh, she didn't have nechsim uluk. If she had nechsim uluk, then we get into the issue. You ought to come to sushi. There were no nechsim uluk. But she still has entitlement to 100 or 200. Let her sell that for the Tevis HaNoah, which is worth $25, $10, whatever it is. And pay that to the Nizik. Says Yamar, no, you can't do that. You know why? Because of Shmuel. Because Shmuel says that afterwards, subsequently, she can be moichel, the choiv of the husband to her, which means the lekeach is going to get zelish, going to get cheated. So Yamar Amri, fine, I agree with you. That's what Shmuel holds. But zvuna is zovin, v'titonle. What she should do is she should go and sell it for the $10, $25, whatever. And v'titonle, she should give it to the Nizik. Because as far as the Nizik is concerned, I don't care what you do. I want my money because you're all this hezek that you caused me. Titanle. V'imachlele legabi baal. And if subsequently, if and when she goes to her husband and she goes and says, Michael, then nebuchli lekech will be stuck. However, this is all legal. So as far as the nizik is concerned, let her sell the ksuba for Tevis HaNoah. Give the Tevis HaNoah to him, to the nizik. And if she's Michael, she's Michael. So to my Amri. The Bezin says, we know the mindsets of husbands and wives. If and when, chas v'sholom, there's a decision to go and give a get or whatever, she's certainly going to be moichel to her husband. Why is she going to be moichel to her husband? Number one, it's her husband. But number two, because perhaps, as you were saying, Brother Shai, she wants to endear herself to the husband, that he should know that he won't have any financial burden. Oh, so maybe we should stay together as husband and wife after all. Because after all, she's been so good. So since it's a vadai, that a wife, when you're dealing with Reuven and Shimon, Shimon may or may not be Moichel Reuven, right? They may be at loggerheads, and therefore Shimon says, I'm not going to be Moichel. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But a wife, we're saying that's vadai, Mochlelei, Vafsadin Lahu Zvina, be a dime, Sadinu, to go, for the Bezin to go and say, let's have her sell her ksuba to a lekech, when we know that the lekech is going to lose out, we don't want to participate in such a fraud, in such a deception. We bezin want to be, you know, clean hands. We don't want to get involved in that. Right tomorrow, why don't we have that she should not sell it to a third party? She should sell it to the nizik. And we say sell it, we don't mean sell it in terms
transfer it in lieu of damages.
Exactly. I owe you $50,000, I owe you $50, whatever it is, the hezek that she caused.
I sign my ksuba to you.
Yeah, exactly. So if and when, cholila b'chazan, you'll be able to get it back.
Actually, it's very straightforward.
Very straightforward. I di mochla legabi baal, loy kamafsid. What happens if she's taka, ultimately she's moichel? Then the nizik has not lost anything. Nothing ventured, nothing gained, nothing lost. Based on our Mishnah.
Anyway,
so at least give the piece of paper, and maybe afterwards she won't be moichel. I mean, there's at least a 5% chance, 10% chance. No. We know that you're going to be moichel. So you're going to go and say, so why don't we at least give him the piece of paper now? Because to go through something which is totally worthless and irrelevant, Hashem, we're not going to bother with that. Because we know that she's going to be Moichel, so what benefit does he have from the Ksuba? Zero. So don't bother the Bezin doing sham things. Okay. That's what we learned in another Braisa. So what happens if Chas HaShalom, the husband and wife, get angry, and she went and punched him? Now remember, it doesn't have to be Chas HaShalom the Mezid, because Odomud La'ilam could even be a Shoigig. But the Mezid, she caused damage to her husband, and the husband says, no, Sprinza, go and pay. Sprinza says, Echanish Kagelt, anything, Mashakana Isha Kadabali, you have everything. So what about her Ksuba? That's worth something. Lo Yafsid Ksuvasa. She doesn't lose her ksuva. In other words, if and when this marriage ends, and I think there's a pretty good chance that it will end, if Nebuch she gave a chabala to her husband, so she doesn't lose her ksuva. Right tomorrow, am I? Taz benina nihalei likvasa lebala betoivasa not. Why don't we say that instead of selling it to that third party, to Levi, to Lekech, she should go and sell it, meaning she should hand over the ksuva to her husband, betoivasa not, baha chabala, based on to pay the damage that she caused to him in this hezek, because the imochla legabi baal, in case she's moichel eventually legabi baal, in other words, because the baal really owes it to her, and now she's selling it to her husband and giving it to her husband, and now when it comes payment day, she says, "I'm moichel lekepseida." There's nothing to worry about because
he's paying himself.
Exactly. That being the case, so why do we say lehifsid ksuvasa? Let us be masakin that she should hand over the ksuva to the husband, and whatever he can retrieve from that, he can't retrieve anything today. But if and when there'll be a get, or somebody passes, or if she passes away, then at least he gets all of that for himself. So that's also worth something. That gets us back to Ramey and the Amid Aleph, the Amr Otz Adam Shiyashes Ishta Afilishach as Beloy Ksuba. And in this case over here, then he has every reason to go and give her the get, because he doesn't have to worry about paying the Ksuba, because the Ksuba he would pay to himself, he wouldn't pay to her. And so therefore, because of Ramey, he can't do that. So Gemara, the time of my Kadesh Leitehi Kala Bein of Leitzia, Hocha Megarishla, the Govle Bechavle Mina. He's going to go and collect the chabola from her. And therefore, he'll now go and get the funds based on the sale of the ksuba. In other words, not the sale, but her handing over and transferring the ksuba to him will be to his benefit. So tomorrow, yehochi hashtanami, migarishla, v'govila b'chavli mina. Let's assume that we don't go and give the ksuba. We don't. Right. The Gemara's kasha was, why don't we say that if Chas HaSholem, she gave a chabala to the husband, what did it say in the Brice on the fourth line? So the Gemara asked, why don't you say that she should have to hand over the ksuba to the husband, and he gets the toivah sana, and she won't be moichel, and he'll be able to collect it, and the ganze maisa. Forget about all of that. Even without her selling, nishka nechse meloga, not selling the toivah sana, not selling the ksuba, not handing it over. Any day that he wants to, he can go and give her a get. And you're saying, yeah, but then he's going to have to give her the ksuva amount. Guess what? He's just going to keep the ksuva for himself. Because he's going to say, why do I have to give it to you? And then you're going to pay back to me. I'll just hold on to it. Right? It'll just be a wash. So even without the selling of the ksuva. So Timurik going to Nofish Ksuva, it's talking about the Ksuva was a very heavy duty Ksuva of $1 million. And the amount of the medical bills was $500. The Mishumahu Porta, for this little bissel, Le Mafsid Tuva, he's not going to be willing to go Mi Mafsid a Ksuva. He's not, he will still have the Remeir's Takana of Osli Am Shiyashis Ishta Felicho Akas Bule Ksuva, because it's not going to be worth his while to go and sell. To go and give her a get to be able to go and collect on the damages on the hezek, because he's going to have to pay her much, much more than the carve out for the damage that were caused.
There's still a disincentive. There's still, because it's the ksuba, so
only in certain cases.
Right, but and if the damage is much more than the ksuba.
What the more thing is, that's the ukimta, kigoin. In other words, that price that said, is talking about such a situation where the ksuba was worth much, much more than the amount of damage. Because in fact, if it was parallel, then in fact, let her go and hand over the ksuva to him, and then he will be able to collect from that the amount of the damages instead of paying her for the ksuva now or in the future. He'll just take that payment now for the damage that was caused. So tomorrow, be in the fisha ksuvasa, make ksuva diaraisa, noit ma'a ksuva diaraisa, the idach tizavna nihil le bechavle. if the amount of the ksuba is greater than the ksuba deraisa. Ksuba deraisa means the 100 or the 200.
Right.
Truth of the matter is, it's a machloikas mesachta ksubas, where the ksuba is deraisa and rabbana. But the more is using the term ksuba deraisa means the set amount.
The set amount
is 100, 200. So even the fish ksubasa, if a ksuba had toises ksuba besides 100 and 200, noikma ksuba deraisa, let us go and say the ksuba deraisa, meaning the 100, 200, that remains intact. And that she should not sell, and that she should keep for herself. And then Rameir will be very happy. But any toisefis up over and above that ksuba amount, tizavna nihalei bechavle, let her sell that to her husband for the amount of damage that she caused to him. That what? That even though, because that toises ksuba might be much, much more than the ksuba deraisa, so the ksuba deraisa she's going to keep for herself, and whatever toisefis she's going to go and sell to him now. Why did we say back in that price, lo hifsi de ksubasa? So the market going to learn a fish ksubasa miksuba deraisa. It's talking about a case where taka the ksuba was not greater than the ksuba deraisa. Davi chavli arbo azuzi. The Gemara is just giving an example. Maybe the whole chavli means the whole damage that she caused him was 4 zuz. The mishum arbo azuzi lo mafsid esrim vachamisha. She's not going to want to lose out on 25 zuz. What does the Gemara mean by 25 zuz? 25 zuz equals 1 mana. Mana, of course, is the amount that you pay for the ksuba, the core ksuba, if you're talking about marrying an almana or a grusha. If it was a psula, then you'd be entitled to masayim, which would be double, not 25, it would be 50. Rashi says we're just hopping on the smaller amount, like tefasim, rubloi tefasim, the Gemara just giving an example of the smaller amount. So therefore, the amount of a ksuba was taka small, was 25. But the amount of the damage was still smaller than that. And therefore, we do not want to sell the ksuba to the husband, because even though he'd be able to go and collect the 4 zuz on
but
this.
But he'd be out the other amount, so therefore he doesn't want, it's no good for him.
Exactly. So he's not going to want to go and do this
collect,
because he doesn't
want to collect. He wants amount because he has to pay out much more.
Exactly. So if he decides eventually to go and give her the get, he's going to have to pay 25. He'll be able to keep for himself the 4 zuz.
But in a chinami, that would be a different situation, we would say. Yeah.
In a chinami, you could. El Hod is sign that we learned in a brisa. Kishem shalei timkar vehi tachtav, kach loy tafsid vehi tachtav. Just like she cannot sell, based on the kanasush, she cannot go and sell vehi tachtav when she's married to her husband. Kach loy tafsid, she won't lose the ksuba as a result of causing damage to third parties or to her husband, vehi tachtav, as long as they're married. Frey Timara, why do you say loy tafsid? It really depends on what the financial situation is. There could be a situation where she should be mafsid v'hi tachtav. What means mafsid? She should go and sell it, even though they're still married. That in fact the ksuva is much more than just the minimum, so let her go and sell it to other parties, and then she's going to go and collect that amount and let her give it to her husband, or give it to a third party that she caused damage to. All you said over here is that the reason why in Chavel Labala, Yafsid Ksuvasa, because we're talking about that she didn't have that excess. Because if she'd have the excess, go and sell it, make money, and give her to them that payment to the Baal. Says the Gemara, that Braisa we made Nukim that's talking about that there was no excess. It was exactly the right amount. But however, how could another Braisa say that just like she can't sell, she cannot be mafsid? It really depends. Sometimes she can be mafsid her ksuba. When we say mafsid, it means she should go and sell it for purpose of paying off hezik, like our case over here. Sometimes we will find that there will be occasion that she should be mafsid, meaning that she should sell her ksuba b'toyves hanor, or without the tekanas usha, sell it for a much larger dollar amount. Give me an example. We're going to the fisher ksuva, so the ksuva deraisa, where the ksuva is much more. So the ksuva deraisa, we're going to keep intact to keep Rameir happy. But on the excess, let her go and sell that for Taiva Sanoa or for whatever, and be able to pay off her nizakin,
her liability.
So why does it say lo yifsid ksuva? That EF shavut solution that lo tafsid v'hitachtov. We're not talking about selling for purposes of the Kanas Usha or Toyvus Hanah. We're talking about something else entirely. Ksuvas Banan Dichrin. Kishem sham mecheres ksubas la'acherim la'yefsida ksubas banan dichrin. My time is zuzi hu danzua. Kach mecheres ksubas la'bal la'yefsida ksubas banan dichrin. What is ksubas banan dichrin? So you remember back in Sechus Ksubas, we had a whole discussion about this, that you had a husband that was married to two wives. And the two wives, each one of them had Baruch Hashem children. One of the wives that he married comes from a very wealthy family, and she brought along a huge estate, a huge amount of nechassim. The other wife, unfortunately, came from a family of poverty. Now, what happens if the two women pass away? Then the husband is going to go and yarshin all of their nechassim. It's all going to belong to him. What happens now when the husband passes away? Then the yesoimim from the first wife and the second wife are going to say, let's split everything equally. Right. There are five sons to the first wife, five sons to the second wife, 10. Everybody gets 10%. So there's a special din of ksuvas banan dichrin. The reason why they made this ksuvas banan dichrin, because otherwise fathers of wealthy girls or wealthy fathers of girls are not going to go and give...
retain the property so it doesn't go to steps brothers.
Exactly. Why should it go to Tiyanus, that wife's children? That wife, if she has no money, that's their problem, not my problem. So therefore the ksuvas banan dichrin is that they will now, the assuming that those original nechassim melugah are still around, so then the children of the wealthy wife, they are going to receive that before the others. The children of the poor wife will get whatever they get from the poor wife, and whatever happens to be left over more than both of those, in other words, if the husband during his lifetime was able to purchase other assets, then they're going to go and split that alike, because that's already nothing to do with the ksubas banan dichrin. Okay, so says the Gemara, "Kishem shalei timka v'itachtav, kach leitafse v'itachtav." What does that mean? So the Gemara now explains. Say vasal ksuvas banan dichrin. Malchitay, kishem shamaycheres ksuvas la'acherim la'yefsida ksuvas banan dichrin. What happens if she sold her ksuvah to other people, and now what happens? They're going to go and collect. She doesn't lose the ksuvas banan dichrin. What means she doesn't lose the ksuvas banan dichrin? They still have the right to go and split it up according to the original. Let's take a look at the Rashi. See, ksuvas banan dichrin, about a quarter from the top of the Amid. Perignam Rasa. What is banan dichrin? They have a lich minoy. Any haven yarsin kesek ksuvasech yes al chukay dimachut. They're going to get more than the other stepbrothers. Ho yelo shtei nashim. We had two wives. Uksuvas oachas gedoyla. Mishal chabert. One had a large ksuvah, the other small ksuvah. Umeisu shtei mechay. Both wives passed away. The yarshan and he yarshin from them. Ho yachas mechay. Or one of them passed away. The yarshan he yarshin from her. Av became the batel ksuvasa etzel baneha. The ksuvah does not become batel. That what? Im yesh lo ben zocher hay menem. She has zcharim. Ukshibon lachlik bana bin chasav acher moisai. Noitlan eilu ksuvas iman. Eilu ksuvas iman. They're going to split. They're going to take the ksuvah of their mother, the whatever nechsim aluk that the mother had. They're going to take nechsim aluk that their mother had. Vashar chol kibishav and whatever is left over after that, then they're going to split it up 50-50. Ve'en yicholim b'nei hakayemes loimar onu nito ksuvas imenu shehi kibalas choyv. The atom al titlu she'en li'imchem ksuba sharibala yorsha. You're not going to have a situation where women are going to, the children of one are going to go and say, oh, the other woman never passed away, and therefore the Baal yarshin, and now we're going to go and take from the Baal because it belongs now to him, and
never
have
to. Wanders through him to their hands.
Exactly. The kaimelin hasan dam mecheres ksuvas li acher betoyv sano. What happens if she sold the ksuva betoyv sano like we had in the Amud Aleph? Umeiz bechaybal and she died when the husband is still alive. The yarsha and now he yarshin from her. Mafsid alikeach. The likeach loses. Why does the likeach lose?
Because she predeceased the husband.
She predeceased.
The marriage ended and that's it. Too bad.
And that was
the risk he took and he bears the risk. Tough.
Perfect. Good. Exactly like you said. What happens now when he passes away? So now, who gets all of those nechsim maluk? So you'll say, well, you know, that wife that never passed away, that had sold it to somebody else,
right.
Now that sale was not effective because right. Unfortunately...
It expired when she expired.
Yeah, right. And what happens now? So the nechosim is still there. Right. So if she were up in the Olam HaEmes, she is not in the members, but if she were down here below, she would go and say, now give it all to my kindler. Right. Because after all, this ksuvas banan dichrin. And even if she cannot say it, the children say, give us the ksuvas banan dichrin. What happens now? The children of the other wife say, your mother betrayed you. You know how she betrayed you? She sold the ksuvah to somebody else. Betrayed the sanah. figuring that maybe the husband will die first, but then he's going to go and give her a get, and therefore the children are going to lose the Ksuz Ban Dechon. Obviously, if the Lekech is going to get the money, if she had sold it between the Sano, then the children wouldn't get anything.
Right.
It would all go to the Lekech. Says Zokri Gemara, let the other children from the other wife say, you don't deserve Ksuz Ban Dechon because your mother betrayed you by selling it to a third party. Alf became lo yifsidu b'nei ha-ksuvus b'nei dichar. V'lo yoyimru b'nei chaverta imchem posha ba. Why? She'ilo hoisa kayemes. If she was alive, lo hoisa goiva, she would not be able to go and collect. Share the kuchas, so you goiva noisa. After all, she sold it to the kuchas, but they listen up. So what's taka the reason why the children of the other mother cannot go and say, your mother betrayed you by selling it to somebody else? Mishum the Amri Lahu, we tell them, Zuzi Ansuha. You think she wanted to go and sell it? She had no Breira. She needed the money. I don't want to go be mafsin my children. Of course I want my children to go and get the full estate, if at all possible.
Actually, they benefit of the first wife, because now that it goes to the father, because their mother died, mm-hmm. they're going to share in it. It's laundered through the father,
mm-hmm.
and they share in it with the children of the second wife.
Mm-hmm.
But if the mother had survived the father, then the lekech would have taken everything.
Exactly.
So they actually get a fraction. They actually come out ahead.
Very good. See, you need a businessman that understands all these things. So Amarav, Seifan Asal Ksuz Banadichim. So back to the Gemara. Vokitan, Kishem Shamuich Keres Ksuvas Lachim. We have seen the Ksuvas Banadichim in a case when she sold the Ksuva between the son to somebody else. And then what happened was that she unfortunately passed away. And therefore the Lekech did not receive the Toiv HaSana.
Right.
And who got it? The husband. Yarshit. And now the husband dies subsequently. Who gets the Ksuvas Banadichim? You don't say that she's mafsid it, my taima, because Zuzi Udansua. Because, like Rashi said, because she was forced to go and sell. She didn't want to sell. She didn't want to go and be mafsid to the children. She was honest al pi adibur, chandish kegel. Oh, kach, mecheret tzuvas lebala. What happens if instead of selling the ksuva to somebody else, she sold it to the Baal based on hezek lemushal, like we had before, that right. she had hurt him. She punched him, and now there's a hezek. Leifsida, ksuvas banan dichar. If and when she ultimately passes away, and then the husband passes away, we don't say that she lost the banan dichrin, but rather we say that the ksuva that of her nechsemalu goes to her original children. My time for the same thing. Zuzi dan tzua. What's the reason why she gave it to her husband? She wanted to give it to her husband because her husband Nebuch amputee, and he needed the money because of Nebuchul the Hezek. She had no other assets, so she sold it, but she didn't want to go and give away the ksuvas banan dichrin. So that's why the brayse says kishem shleitim gar bitachdav. She's never going to lose the Ksuvas Banan Dichrin for the children in later years. Now, says the Gemara, we started off with the Konasusha. So, do you want to leave it to Konasusha? Let's say the Konasusha is a Machloikis Tanoi. Tanoi Choda, Av the Malug Yoitz Meshem Ba'ayin Li Isha, Av Loi Li Ish. Vatani Idach Loi Li Ish, Loi Li Isha. What are we referring to? You know there's a din of an Eved Kanani, that Eved Kanani normally it belongs to you forever. However, he's Yoitz Meshem Ba'ayin. Now the question is, who is the owner of the Eved Kanani? Let's assume that she brought in those avodim in as nechse maluk. So she is the owner and title, the nominal owner, but the husband is the one that has the payers. He's the one that tells the avodim, shlat this, bring this, do that, etc. So now, who, assuming that either he or she, the husband or the wife, knocks out the shein v'ayin of the Eved, when would the Eved go lecheiros? Right, it's a good question.
Yeah.
See, Morris says
it shows if kinyan appears to kinyan gufta. It cuts to the heart of the question.
Exactly. Says the Morris, it's a machlokes tanoim. The Tani Choda av the malug yoytz meshein va'ayin liisha avloy liish, because she's the one that owns it.
Title owner, right? So she has the right to set them free with a loss of a limb.
Exactly. That she has the right. She is forced,
empowered.
Empowered as well as she's obligated to set them free because she's ayin, but not the ish. Doesn't belong to me. The Isha will say, you idiot, you, why did you go and knock out the Shem V'ayin? But the Eved doesn't go free because the Eved belongs to me.
Right.
That whether he did it or she did it, they don't go free at all. Why? Savru de Kolyam, can you pay us? Lav, can you not? In trying to bring a raya where this Takanas Usha is, the Machlokes is, whether you hold the Takanas Usha or not, the basic premise is we assume that both prices hold, can you pay us? Lav, can you not? And therefore, as far as the husband is concerned, he doesn't really own the Eved. Since he doesn't own the Eved, that's why in both prices we say the Ish is out of the question. Right? We said in the first one, Avaloi the Ish, and we said the same thing in the second price of Avaloi the Ish. What about the Isha? My Labal Kemethlegi. The Mandi Amal Isha, the one that says that if she knocked out the Shem V'ayin, the Avadim go free, Lesley Tekonas Usha, meaning that we hold that she really does own the Avadim after all. And she could sell the Avadim. Not like the Tekonas Usha that says she cannot go, she can sell them. If she can sell them, then she actually owns the money, and that's what then owes the Avadim, and that's why if she knocks out the Shem V'ayin, that's why they go free. That's the first price of the Isha. The second price is like Tekonas Usha. And yet, yeah, she has the title that she is the owner, but it's really a worthless title, because, as long as they're still married, because she cannot sell it to anybody. If she cannot sell it to anybody, it doesn't belong to her. It doesn't belong to him because he only has a Tekonas, he only has a Kini Paris Lavki Kini Kofsami. So therefore, nobody, the Evan Isha, the Evan Meshivcha, do not go free. So, that's a machloikis tonight. The Kuli Alma is the Tekonas Usha. Could be everybody holds there is a Tekonas Usha. Elakan Koyim Tekonah, Kan Liacha Tekonah. One Bryce is talking about before the Tekonah was
publicized.
Not only publicized, enacted and legislated, since there was no Tekonah yet. So at that point, she still owned the Avadim. That's why the Isha, Avaloi the Isha. Avaliacha Tekonah, once the Tekonah became enforced and it became legislated, from now on, she her rights to the Eved are greatly...
Share his rights to free them through Shem V'ayin.
It's not so much his rights. He never has the rights, because we're assuming that Kinyan Peis Lav, Kinyan Kukam. We're only talking about impairing her rights or her obligation to go and free them. If these Eved really belongs to her, then she knocks out Shem V'ayin, then he goes free. But doesn't belong to her after the Tekonah, because after the Tekonah Susha, she is the paper elephant, she's the paper giant, I own this big property. What can you do with the property? Can you sell it? No. Do you get the income stream? No. So what is this? Is it just a paper tiger? It's goonish. That's the reason why the second price is after the Tekonah, neither one. Both of them talk about after Tekonah Susha, the Islahu Tekonah Susha, and they hold the Tekonah Susha. And the Isha Vilei the Ish, my timer. Why does the first? So I understand the second price that says Vilei the Ish Vilei the Ish. It's after Tekonah. He only has paid. Can you pay his lav? Can you tell me? She cannot go and sell it. But what about the first price? You're saying both of them are talking the after Tekonah, Islahu Tekonah. So why does it go out from her? My time, Kidrov the Amarak. It's the famous memory that we have a few times. Hegdish Chometz Vishikr Mafkin Midei Shibud. If somebody gave a lien on a piece of property, like on a, for instance, on a shore, for instance, you made an apoitiki for your Balchoiv and said to Balchoiv, if I don't pay you, you can take this shore, and after that you're Makdish it. Kedushas Haguf, not just Kedushas Dam. Or you gave piles and piles of noodles, Chometz, as the lien for to pay off the debt, and guess what happens? And now it's Erev Pesach, and now the Chometz is now Aser Bana. Or you gave an Evid as an appointee with a lien, and now you're a Meshacher. And all of these three cases, Mafkim, the Shibud goes away, fades away, and Gunished. Ah, so therefore, what does it have to do with us? Says the Gemara, since we're talking about the case of the Evid, what happens to the Evid? If you're going to go and say that the Evid is going to become a Meshuchrer as a result of the
knocking out the tooth
or whatever, says him more. That's why the Isha v'loy the Ish. Ah, you're saying after Tekonas Usha, her rights are limited. That's true, her rights are limited. However, her responsibility to go and be Meshacher, that's going to trump, it's going to supersede the Tekonas Usha. Why? Because Shechur is Mafkiyah Midei Shibud. Not that she wants a Meshacher, but she has no choice. She has Meshacher. The Torah says that you have to Meshacher an Eved if you are Shem V'ayin. So that requirement of Shechur will supersede the Tekonas Usha, and that's why it will be Le'isha V'loy Le'ish. If she knocks it out, then the Eved will go to free after.
How can people not hold the Tekonas Usha? If the Chazal make a Tekana, how can say, well, we're not going to hold from it? I mean, it's a Midrash, and what's this?